Quran Dance Company celebrates its 42nd annual National African Dance and Drum Conference, coming together as one on Labor Day weekend from Friday, August 29th to Sunday, August 31st. The conference workshops will take place at the Washington Marriott Capitol Hill and will be taught by 20-plus master dancers and drummers.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
And it's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Plenty of things to talk about. I want to thank everybody for getting involved with our recent fund drive. You know, I got to say, the people who listen to this show really came through. I'm glad I give my email address out, because I have people who send me emails. And you know what's great about the people who send me emails? I usually get emails from people who disagree with me. They're mad at me. They can't stand me. Oh, they think I'm a plant, everything else in the world. And I respond to them. And I talk, and I enjoy it, because, you know, one of the things I believe in, you got to talk to people you don't agree with. Firstly, and foremostly, don't stand around with a bunch of people hugging each other in a circle, talking about how right you are. You must make yourself uncomfortable to grow. I go to the gym because it's uncomfortable. People jog. I used to jog. Now, you know, my back ain't what it used to be. You know how it is, you know, older, used to play basketball a lot. Your knees, your back, all those things can't quite take that jogging. Maybe I can do a treadmill or something like that. But why do you do that stuff? To make yourself uncomfortable. You get uncomfortable, you grow. You take a class. Oh my gosh, I'm studying for this course. Blah. You're learning new software. Oh, what a pain in the neck. It makes it tough. It makes you uncomfortable to learn new things. That's how you grow. Discussing reality with people that you disagree with, you learn something. You learn how other people see the world. You learn, you know, you pick up things, and that you may never agree, but you may walk away saying, it's interesting. Now I know why that person feels like that, or why people like that feel like that. So I want to thank everybody. My email address is my first name and the first letter of my last name, garlandn@gmail.com. And I want to thank everybody who emails me, in particular, the ones that email me to disagree. That is a wonderful thing. All right, let's get going. We got several things we got to touch on today before we go to the phones at 202-588-0893. But let's get started with one thing at a time. Number one, Washington, D.C. Well, I don't have to tell you what's going on. If you're in Washington, D.C., you can see it's basically martial law. You know, the government is bringing in the soldiers to oppress the people. What a shock. I had a friend of mine tell me, man, that's shocking, is it? And here's my, I hate to always go back to this, but I had to. Yeah, isn't that surprising? I said, this government's literally committing a genocide right now. They're starving children to death. They're killing people, men, women, children, starving them to death. They're putting food out for people to walk out who are starving people to get the food, and then machine gunning the people down. And you're surprised that they declared martial law? I mean, at this point, don't put anything past them. If they stood on the Capitol and just started mowing down cars as they drove by on the street, I wouldn't be happy about it. I'd, oh my God, they're shooting innocent people. Would I be surprised? I'd be like, you know, they, oh, wait a minute. That's right. They're literally kind of committing a genocide right now, aren't they? I guess it's almost expected. You know what? If you ask me, they're committing a genocide right now. This is kind of light from what you would expect, martial law. However, let me say this about that. As bad as it is, it could always be worse. And likely will get worse. If you think that the government's only plan is to come to Washington, D.C. and to oppress the people in Washington, D.C., I got bad news for you. This is probably a trial run. I want you to go. And I got to tell everybody, you know, look, I research, you know, I look, I read, I try to figure things out. I want you to look up the word Rapid Reaction Force Pentagon. Go search that and see what you find. Here's an article. Let's start here. Pentagon draws up plans to send troops to American cities. The Trump administration is considering plans for a reaction force of National Guard troops to deploy quickly to, listen to this, American cities with signs of civil unrest. Pentagon plans, so that's the military, leaked to the Washington Post, so that means they leaked them on purpose. Detailed plans, time-stamped in late July and early August for a, quote, listen to this, domestic civil disturbance quick reaction force, right? National Guard troops, they'd be based in Alabama and Arizona, ready to deploy within an hour to U.S. cities facing protests or unrest. So, what they're saying is this. Notice they said they're gearing up to deploy more troops to American cities for civil unrest. I wonder why they're expecting civil unrest. Let's go further. So they're going to put some at bases in Alabama, some in Arizona, so they can cover both, you know, they can cover all over the place, facing protests or other unrest. Well, let's start here. The last time I checked, protests are First Amendment protected activity, right? That's like a foundation of democracy. If the government does something you don't like, you're supposed to be able to protest it, aren't you? Sounds like maybe not. Cost projections indicate that the mission could amount to hundreds of millions of dollars. Wow, it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars just for a few troops? Almost sounds like they're planning a mass deployment of troops. And if they tell us it's in two places, now they already said that they would be ready to deploy within an hour to U.S. cities. Well, guess what? Arizona and Alabama ain't within an hour from all New York City, all cities. But it says the plan involves rotating Army and Air Force National Guard units from several states, including Maryland, New Mexico, Nebraska, and Tennessee. Now, when asked for a response, the Defense Department said, quote, the Department of Defense is planning organization and routinely reviews how the department would respond to a variety of contingency plans across the globe. Then we're not asking about across the globe. We're asking them about right here. They say we will not discuss these plans through leaked documents, pre-decisional or otherwise. So what they're saying is they're planning on troops that'll be able to go to any American city within an hour to quell, quote, protest and civil unrest. And when somebody from the press said, hey, can you tell us about it? They said, quote, we will not discuss these plans. So it just sounds to me, the proposal leaked to the press, refused to work with the Pentagon. So the bottom line is this, you know, call me, remember, I'm the crazy conspiracy theorist guy, right, who doesn't trust the government. People get mad at me. Are you telling us the government's lying? No, I'm not telling you the government's lying to you. The government's telling you they're lying to you, but you believe them not before you believe me. It's always like, you ever notice? It's always like this. People always trust the liar, and they get mad at the one that's saying they're lying to you, right? Hey, there's Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. I remember when, and I was like, I don't believe that crap. Oh, come on, Garland. We have to fight him over there so we won't fight him over here. Oh, yeah. Okay, right. I don't believe it. Then people got mad at me back then. Hey, how dare you say that? We've got to stand up to you're being lied to. It never fails. It never fails. So why now should I expect when I say, you know, they're up to no good again? It sounds like they're putting together military forces to, quote, they always start off like this. Listen, in D.C., what do they say? We're doing it to stop crying. Oh, get out of here. That's a lie. Isn't it an interesting coincidence that at the same time they're doing this trial run in Washington, D.C. to put National Guard on the streets to, you know, harass the local population and walk around and figure out what they can do, what they can get away with, how people react. See, they're softening you up. You got to get used to having these people on the streets. Then, you know, maybe another city or maybe a few more next time. And then when they announce, well, you know, the last time it was for crime. And now, let's say, I don't know, there was another 2008-style crash or they started another war with Venezuela like they're about to do. Let's say something else crazy happened, right? Guess what? It's all set up. So I'm just saying, hooray for the people in Washington, D.C. who's standing up and, although that dude that threw that sub at the cop, that was kind of boneheaded. I mean, I don't know what that was supposed to accomplish. I don't know. I guess maybe whistling, hooray, he threw a sub at the cop. I guess he felt good about it. Didn't work out so well for him. I'm just saying there's other things we could do that may be a bit more effective than that. But my point is, hooray for the people who are standing up and going to the streets and saying, we will not tolerate this, because there's a larger pattern going on here. And the larger pattern is they're like acting like they want to start a war with Venezuela or something. That ain't going to work out so well. They are a people probably, you know how it is, they start a war and next thing you know, people are in the street protesting and there's civil unrest. But they're all ready for that one, aren't they? They got troops already deployed to stop protests and civil unrest. So they're up to no good. I'm telling you, they're up to no good. I'm telling you, keep pushing back and don't think that this is it. That, oh boy, we got them to leave Washington, D.C. This thing is over. No. 202-588-0893. Before I jump up to anything else, let's go to the first caller. First caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from? First caller, you're on air. Let me remind our callers. Maybe I made an error here. I should have reminded our callers. When you call in and you talk to my main man, Kalia, right? When you do that, don't set the phone down and listen to the computer or the radio because we have a 10-second delay. And when I call you, if you're listening on the radio or the computer, you won't hear me for 10 seconds. So if you call in and you're on hold, you must hold the phone to your ear so you won't get that 10-second delay. All right, caller, are you there? Yeah, I guess the caller ain't there. All right, we got another caller? All right, let's try the next caller. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening, Max? Hey, you're not in the streets of D.C. They haven't grabbed you and taken you away to a secret location yet, have they?
No, luckily, no, they haven't gotten me, no.
Well, it's coming, buddy. Trust me. They're on the way. You better hide.
Oh, wait, are you being sarcastic or you think you agree like that might be the case?
Yeah, I wish I was being, let's hope I'm being, let's just say I'm being sarcastic for now. But, you know, hey, look, you know what, the direction things are going, sometimes a lot of truth is told in jest. I'm just saying that. But let's just hope you'll be fine, Max. They'll never come grab you and take you away. But anyway, what are your thoughts? They'll come get me, though, that's for sure.
No, because this is great. We're kind of on the same level. So to hyperfixate on that claim. So let me kind of encapsulate that, what I believe regarding that, right?
All right.
And I don't want to get into, like, issues or, you know, like, this isn't a good thing to campaign on or this or that. I just want to hyperfixate on that specific issue. So would you agree that if Kamala Harris was the president right now, this wouldn't be happening? Or you really believe that this would be happening? Because I want to go toe-to-toe with you on that if you disagree.
Well, here's the thing that I believe it. I can say, I'd like to believe if Garland Nixon is the president, it wouldn't be happening. But since there was no possibility in this universe that Kamala Harris was going to be president, what would we be talking about? That would be like saying if they didn't kill Kennedy, this wouldn't happen. I don't see that as a viable discussion. I think personally, I don't think it would happen because I think we'd have all died in a nuclear war by now if Kamala Harris. That's my opinion. We'd have died in a nuclear confrontation.
You're
right. I'm going to say this. It wouldn't have happened. How's that?
Well, even that, though, even right with we die in a nuclear war, right, even with Trump, right, and Putin slowly kind of maybe coming to an agreement, Trump is, like, engaging in way more unprecedented overall warfare than Kamala. Trump has fired just as many drone strikes in 6 months in Biden's entire 4 years. Trump is the drone king. Trump has fired more drones than any president of the last 25 years. He might go to war with Venezuela. We might go to war with Mexico under Donald Trump.
I think he's focusing on war with Venezuela. I think he's bypassed Mexico. You know why? Because Mexico doesn't have oil.
Yeah, that's true. But
Venezuela's got oil. They ain't going to war. Mexico ain't got oil. This is another regime change war for oil. But let me tell you something. If they start a war with Venezuela, it's going to be real. Did you know that in Venezuela, the government handed out, I mean, like literally millions of people in Venezuela are part of the militia, millions. And they gave them AK-47s and machine guns and stuff and bullets. If you go into Venezuela with a few thousand or even 100,000 Marines, they're going to get torn to pieces. There'll be no place they can go that they won't get shot at by the local population. Imagine a country where everybody is handed an AK-47 and basically they say, if the Americans set foot in here, shoot at them. That would be the stupidest thing we could do, but we might just do it. And by we, I mean the U.S. The U.S. government. Anyway, go ahead, continue. I don't want to dominate the conversation.
I'll say this, Garland. Despite how much you and I nitpick at each other's arguments, we are both in complete coherent agreement. This country is screwed. I am blackpilled about this country. I just think that, like, anybody who doesn't see that, like Trump wants to do executive orders, no more mail-in voting. Let's suppress 3 million mail-in voters. Let's create all these voter ID laws. Let's redraw the line. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even have to accept the results. Like, you know, like, Vance is going to be the next president. It's just he's like, Trump is most, this is most definitely like the most quasi-dictatorial fascist regime I think we've had, like, post-civil rights. And that's not even to, like, say that, like, I wouldn't agree with you. Like, Reagan did a lot of awful things. Nixon, Clinton presided over the largest mass incarceration ever. Bush, Iraq, Obama. You know, I don't disagree. Like, there are a lot of things that you could point out to me. And I'd say, you're right, Garland. I just still, at the end of the day, I guess I'm just like, Trump is just like you said, he's a symptom of a country truly in its decline. But I think the Republican Party is really thinking, like, how do we, like, cement ourselves as the one party state? Like, I think they want to cement themselves as the one. And to the Democrats' failure, it's their fault, you know, for sure. I just think that doesn't remove the true malice of the Republican Party that is now in full effect.
Let me read an article to you, okay? I think the Democrats, I mean, we disagree, but only in a few little substances. We both think the country's going to crap. You think the Democrats are better than the Republicans. I hate them both. So we're close, right? I think they're both terrible, but here's an article as an example. This is the New York Times. The Democratic Party is hemorrhaging voters long before they even go to the polls. This is August 20th. Of the 30 states that track voter registration by political party, Democrats lost ground to Republicans in every single one between the 2020 and 24 elections, and often by a lot. The four-year swing toward the Republicans adds up to 4.5 million voters, a deep political hole that could take the years for Democrats to climb out. From here is my point. I'm going to agree with you how terrible the Republicans are. The Democrats are so bad. How bad do you have to be to lose voters to the party of Trump? You're in real trouble when people are looking at the Republicans like, well, you know, the Democrats are pretty bad, but I think I'll give them a shot. You're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. The Democrats are in bad shape.
I don't disagree with you, like I said, from the optics. Yeah, sure. From the optics side, like I said, I don't disagree that the Democrats on paper don't look bad. I'm just saying we're literally seeing in real time that the former president was not rounding and sweeping people up, even if you say, and he deported a lot of people. That's because we had unprecedented attempted border crossing. But he was offering.
I'm losing you a little bit. You're going in and out. Well, I'll say this, Max. I think a big part of what's really destroying the Democratic Party now is the Gaza conflict. I think that, did you know that, what is it, of people under 40, only in the Democratic Party, only 8% support the Israeli government's policies in Gaza. 8%. You have a party where people under 40, 92% of them are opposed to a significant policy and they're furious of it. A party cannot survive with that. I don't know what's with these people. That is an issue that is destroying the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Can I just push on one thing real quick? Because I know we're running on time. I would say black and white voters pretty much voted identical from 2020 to 2024. The Hispanic vote and the Asian vote was the biggest shift in Trump's victory this time around. Now that everything's going on, right, I guarantee you every single one of those Hispanic voters is like, I either should have voted for Kamala or not voted for Trump. And then the voters in Gaza, sure, the Democrats blew Gaza to bits. But now that this guy's like, and they're, oh, yeah, I'm going to build a casino with Jared Kushner and Ivanka, just got baptized in the holy Jewish prophecy. I guarantee you they're even like, wow, they're disillusioned. I could probably get 20 to 30 Hispanics in the room. My girlfriend actually knows, because she's Hispanic. She knows a Hispanic that works at Chick-fil-A that voted for Trump. And now she's even like, I can't believe I did that. I might lose family members over this. So I think
well, my point,
stupid.
Yeah, I'll say this,
in a stupid country.
I'll put it this way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you're not right, but right now the polls don't bear this out. I don't know what the Democrats are going to do
during the midterms because
they can't turn it around and get young people in masses to the polls, because you got two things. It's not that the people that'll jump over. Yeah, I put it like this. I've always said this as a political analyst. In order to win, you got to do three things. Number one, turn out your base. Number two, turn out your base. Number three, turn out your base. If you don't turn out your base, you don't even have a chance. And right now, the youth part of their base, getting them out in the midterms to vote for Democrats is going to be like, you know, pulling teeth. So I don't know. Maybe they're all, the polls right now don't look good. But this country is so shot. We'll be lucky to make it. I don't know what raggedy part of a country will be left by the time we get to the midterms. All right. Thanks a lot. Got to run. All right. Remember, the number is 202-588-0893. Do we have other callers? 202-588-0893. I also definitely want to talk about this. Let me just make a comment before I go to the next caller. A quick comment. I'm going to go right to the next caller. And that is, so the U.S. government says, hey, we're going to go after drug deals. Now, first they say, yes, Nicolas Maduro, the head of Venezuela, is a narco, the head of drug cartels, which is an absolute lie. And then they say, we might have to use military to go after the drug cartels. Really? Are you going after the ones in Mexico? Nope. How about Peru or Colombia, where all the cocaine comes from? Absolutely not. Well, where are you going to go? Let me see. Venezuela doesn't do a lot of cocaine, but they have a larger oil reserve than any other country. That's it. We're going to go stop the drugs by going to the country with all the oil. It's almost like a self-serving racket, like they made that up so they could go after the oil. Well, it ain't going to work out well. So now another regime change war, another lie. You know, Trump is just another regime change war, tax cut for the rich, lying about every single thing he said when he was running for office. Just another one. It's almost like a legacy. It's almost like that's what you do if you're a U.S. president. You lie when you're running for office. You don't keep your word about anything. You start regime change war after then. You either make tax cuts for the rich or you sign to keep the ones in there. It's pathetic. Anyway, next call, you're there. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, is that me?
I think it is.
My name is JT. I'm calling from New York. I don't think things have changed much. You did, like you said, between Democrats and Republican, left wing, right wing, they're both part of the same bird. And I remember as a child coming to Washington, D.C., and seeing the quiet dignity of the people in Washington, and it never left me. You guys are facing hard times down there. Don't give them any excuse. My heart is with you guys. Take care. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate that. 202-588-0893. Yeah, so now what do we got? And let me say this. So now what do we hear? Oh, remember Trump? Oh, yes, I'm going to do something about immigration. Well, he actually is going to do something about immigration. If you attack Venezuela and start a war in the region, there'll be a million war refugees. So he's going to do something about immigration, all right. He's going to put another million war refugees at the border. So when you say you're going to do something about immigration, you're going to make it 100 times worse. But remember this. The ruling elite like the concept of illegal immigrants. They use them for cheap labor. They only tell us they want, don't want. They want the concept of illegal immigrants. You notice something. What does the ruling elite say? What do these rich folks say? Oh, we don't want a pathway to citizenship. Well, if they're citizens, you got to pay a minimum wage. Of course, they don't want them to be citizens. You got to pay a minimum wage. You got to adhere to OSHA standards, on-the-job safety standards. You got to provide them with all kinds. You got to pay. When you pay them, you can't just give them cash. You got to pay taxes on that. No, they don't want a pathway to citizenship. They want to keep them illegal so that they can pay them $2 an hour. They can pay them nothing. They can keep them living in squalor. They can threaten them, take their green cards, treat them pretty much as slaves. That's what they like. That's the way they want in illegal immigration. And you know what? Starting another war there will be more. And they'll say, oh, yes, we're going to do something about illegal immigration, and they'll get in office, and what they'll do is make it worse, so they got more cheap workers. All right, next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, hello?
You're on the air.
Yes, hello. How are you, darling?
I'm all ears.
Yes, listen, I am just getting so tired of everyone. I keep thinking that as an African American, that most of us are still in kindergarten when it comes to these politics. By now, we should know. We're sitting here arguing over whether Kamala Harris or Biden or Barack. Every day when you wake up, your day basically as an African American hasn't changed. Nothing's transpired. Nothing's moved forward for us as a group. And we still keep arguing and fighting over these two parties when we should know that the owners run this country. Talk, you know, I'd like to hear more about that, the truth, because we'll keep arguing over Democrats and Republicans. People's families have split up. And at the end of the day, you're still right where you were. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm 100% with you. Do we have more callers or not? No. Okay, 202-588-0893. Yeah, you know, I mean, exactly. I mean, right now, you know, on a few issues, the Democrats and the Republicans, you know, like I said, you have a pillow fight and they pretend like it's a knife fight, but it's a pillow fight. Right now, I will bet you this. Do you think, and now Trump is ready to start another regime change war in Venezuela. And let me tell you, you know what it is? You know what it is from a person who you can, I know a lot of people, I know people who've written books on Venezuela. I have been to Venezuela. I have met with the opposition party. I literally met with the opposition parties in Venezuela and talked to them during, whatchamacallit. I've been met with a lot of people, government officials, you name it, in Venezuela. And let me tell you, here's the reality about Venezuela. Nicolas Maduro, well, a lot of people don't know this, Hugo Chavez, when he had a right-hand man, his right-hand man was Nicolas Maduro. And Chavez and Maduro are loved by the 70% of the country that are black and that are the native people. So the people that are mixed with the indigenous people and the black folks and the black and indigenous mixed together, which is 70-some% of the country, they all are the ones that support Maduro's party. And the United States, being the racist country that it is, the United States tries to keep the basically white majority. In case you didn't know this, I'll just fill you in. What happened in South America is when the Spaniards came, when they left, which they didn't really left, they would leave a small majority, a small minority of white Spaniards in these South American countries. And only these white Spaniards would be allowed to go to the military academies, go to the highest colleges, all of that. So they left a ruling class of white Spaniards that was a minority. The United States and England and these other countries support the white minority to have power, minority rule over the brown, the indigenous, and the black folks. So Maduro, if you can go online and look, find a rally for Maduro and his party, and they'll be all black, they will be all indigenous. Find a rally for Juan Guaido. And so the United States is in Venezuela, trying to put a white majority, a white minority in trouble, in charge. That's what Joe Biden was doing. Do you remember when they had that, during Trump, when Trump was in charge the first time, and they had a State of the Union's address, and they brought in Juan Guaido, who was white minority. Democrats and Republicans, all of them stood up and did a standing ovation for Juan Guaido. Where's Juan Guaido now? Juan Guaido was nothing but a puppet. He was a person that was going to keep the white minority in Venezuela in power over the brown, black, and indigenous majority so that the minority could deliver that oil to the United States and England. That's all the job was. All they're trying to do now is put in a white minority so they can deliver that oil to the United States and England so they can steal their oil and their gold and all the other things like they've been doing for centuries. It is the ultimate in racism. So if you're a black person or indigenous person or you're a person who does not believe in racism and racial theft and piracy, you've got to look at Venezuela and say, I'm not in favor of white minority rule. Because, oh, by the way, white minority puppets who are going to give the oil away to Washington, D.C. and the city of London. That's all it really is. But those indigenous and black folks in Venezuela have all been armed. The government truckloads a gun. Here, take everybody gets a gun. And if the Yankees show up, let them have it. You don't want none of that. Trust me when I tell you this. You women, the women were shaking their fists. While I was there saying, you tell them, the Americans, if they come here, we will defend our democracy with our guns. And they will. All right. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? You are on the air. Next caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
I think it is.
This is Mike from D.C., brother.
Oh, man, my main man, Mike. What's happening, brother?
Well, I'm just, you know, one thing that the black community better understand about the Democrats versus, they better stop playing this Democrat versus Republican Party game, because as the years keep showcasing, it has not benefited black people as we keep on fighting over these two corporate parties. Now, I said this before when I called your show. Anytime that you got a black person in the White House that has the ears of the president, I don't give a damn if it's a Democrat or Republican. Right now it's Republican, and the cowardly blacks in the White House that is not doing anything to advocate for the black community, you can't blame Trump for that. You got to blame those cowardly blacks that he has in there, you know, that has their ears. Again, it doesn't matter what party, because the same could be said when blacks was in the White House when Biden was running it. And if they didn't say anything to them, to Biden at the time, you can't blame the president for that. You got to blame your black representation that you have advocating for you for the black community that's in the White House. I blame the blacks more than I blame than the president. They got to stop acting like a bunch of cowards. Stop being afraid of their little white colleagues that's in the White House with them, because they say the wrong thing, then it might drive away their white donor class, because that's what that's all about. But let me ask you this. Heard about the school board meeting that's going on in Virginia that Winston Sears was a part of?
No. No.
Well, the thing that really got to me about that whole thing, they was arguing about the bathroom issues about boys who identify as girls.
Oh, good Lord.
Think they got the right to use the bathroom. And I don't care if just make white devils mad. A man simply cannot be a woman because you said so. Because I know if I got a girl, my daughter, and a boy that's going, I'm going to have a problem with that. But the thing that really pissed me off the most is that one of the activists had a sign or a shirt saying that if transgenders can't use the bathrooms, then blacks can't drink at my water fountain. That's a racist statement. And I don't care.
Well, you know, and you know what? The ruling elite loves for us to argue about that. They love for us to argue about who can go to what bathroom and things of that nature. They love us to argue about inane crap like that, because the reality of it is
issues, though,
because then we are not looking. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what it's like? It's like when two people, a pickpockets, work together and one of them bumps you, so it takes your attention, and the other one takes your wallet. That's what it is. That's bumping you. It's called jostling, and jostling a person in actual legal terms. The person is a jostler. One guy bumps you, and while they get your attention, the other guy steals your wallet. But that's all they're doing. They got us talking about bathroom bills and stuff like that, arguing about that kind of stuff, while they add another $150 billion to the Pentagon bill and start another war, and we get nothing out of anything. Raise taxes. Tariffs are raised. They don't call them. They ain't tariffs to taxes.
Again, that still was a racist statement. What does that have to do with black people? And I'm still trying to figure that out. And the thing that irritates me with white groups from the left and the right, they're always trying to pump the black community. They try to get them to understand their issues. And I always have a problem with that. It's just like when I can't remember that radio host in California that was running. And I've never been a fan of his anyway, because he's a hypocrite. But then they had this white lady in a gorilla mask throwing eggs at him, and none of the black it just seemed none of the blacks have a problem with it, because the guy was a Republican. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, when somebody do a racist thing towards you, you got to speak out against that. You know, you can't be afraid of losing your white friends because you're voicing your opinions about racist statement. I think that's one of the problems that somehow people go through, because if they say something, then they might lose their little white friends. If that's your friend, your friend, you can't voice your opinion. That's not your friend in the first place. So, you know,
well, you know what? We are always at the back of the line. And people get mad. They got mad at Dave Chappelle when he said that. And, you know, they get mad at people when they say it. But black folks stay always at the back of the line. You know, everything can be said about black folks. Everything can be done about black folks. But any of the other groups, whether it's the LGBTQ, which I got nothing against the LGBTQ. I believe in rights for everybody. Or if it's Jewish people, if you say it's anti-science. So now everything is anti-Semitism. Now, I'm not trying to argue against the rights for one group or the other group or whatever. I believe that every single person should have the exact same expectations of rights, including every LGBTQ person, every Jewish person, every everything. But why is it that we're always at the back, that you, if you say something about a black vote, ain't nothing happening. But in any of the other groups, which you shouldn't be saying negative about any of them, but we are always at the back of the line, at the back of the list when it comes to groups that you're supposedly offending or whatever the case may be. Always at the back of the line, never coming to the front.
But that's our problem. That's the black community's problem for keep allowing this to happen. If the blacks act like cowards, are the groups going to treat us like cowards? So the black community, we need is, I'm just saying to our people, stop acting like cowards. Stop acting
like cowards. Well, here's the thing. I will get attacked for even saying that. Somebody will say, well, he's anti-LGBTQ or he's anti-Semitic. Just for saying, why are black folks always at the back of the line? I'm black. I'm saying, why are we always at the back of the line? And even then, they'll accuse me of attacking the other groups. And I'll say, aha, that proves my point. I can't even advocate for my own rights without being attacked for being anti-whatever. I don't care what other group it is. But yet, the police can shoot us down in the street and ain't going to get a day.
And you're right about that. But again, that's because our people keep on tolerating this nonsense. And if our people stop tolerating this nonsense, then we will not be treated the way how we treat it. People are going to only treat you how you allow them to treat you. So the black
well, I'll add one more thing to it, Mike.
Start having a little bit of backbone.
I add one more thing to it, Mike.
To the black community that's listening to this broadcast right now. Stop being afraid to speak your mind because you're afraid that your little white friend might get offended of it. Peace, brother.
I'll say one other thing, and it's because we keep putting these people in charge, voting for these people, and putting them back in office over and over again, and they fill their pockets. And when the government says, oh, we're voting for another $150 billion for whatever, for Israel, for to go to Ukraine, or for the war machine, or the Pentagon, or whatever, every one of them black people up in Congress is voting in favor of it. None of them is saying, well, gee, we have some problems in the black community that, you know, $10 or $20 billion would make a big difference. But, you know, perhaps our schools, issues for beds for rehab, homelessness, things like that in the black community. We're putting people in office that'll vote for another $50 billion for Ukraine, black Congress members, and then wave a blue and yellow flag around. What about a red, black, and green flag? What about saying there is poverty and struggle in the black community? They got a blue and white flag, more money for Israel. Blue and yellow flag, they got every flag but a red, black, and green flag for the black community. But we keep putting them back in office. And I'm wrong. There's something wrong with me. I guess I am anti-everything. I will be attacked for advocating for the rights of a group that's been suffering for 400 years and still at the back of the line. Oh, okay. Anyway, 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Steve Berry from Upper Marlboro. How you doing today?
All right, man. I'm losing it here. I'm falling apart. help me out.
The world. I'll say that about it. I think sometimes it's background. You know, if you come from a group that believes you have royal blood or a royal background and that there should be emperors and then peasants, or masters and peasants, then that's you try and get back to your roots, I think. And I believe that the other thing I will say, maybe another way of looking at it is this. Rich folks gave jobs that were in America first to Japan, which got their economy up, and then to China when they undercut Japan, and to any place else where they could do it. And there's in the last 70 years, the black middle classes or in the white middle class, earthlings have been attacked everywhere, except maybe in China, where there's some love of the people and the people have increased their lifestyle 8 times. In the United States, it's gone down. Used to be one guy could, a very poor job, could take care of a whole family, and including a house and food and everything else. It's not that way anymore. And if you notice, the riches of rich people are buying islands and setting up bomb shelters a mile down in these islands. And they believe that there are too many people on Earth. Maybe they think that they don't need this many people, and they want to keep their royal lifestyle, and so they're going to do it. So the only thing, I in this long life that I've had, I've been blessed. I noticed that, you know, there's a difference between Martin and Malcolm, for example, but mm-hmm. Martin had a point. You can't jail everybody. If you just think of yourself as an earthling looking for justice for all other earthlings, and you won't send weapons and other things on ships or planes, you won't pack any of these things, you won't pick up mm-hmm. a weapon or anything else like this, you peacefully let them jail you and in the whole place, then they can't do anything. I mean, they're trying to do stuff by force and scaring people. I don't know what Mike meant when he said we're all scared. We're just looking for something to do. And I think something to do right now is use your voice on places like PFW and explain that in Israel and Palestine is what I'll call it, there are people just like in the United States who are being imprisoned and pinned in on their own land and starved mm-hmm. and murdered. And we have people who are paid just like Arab neighbors of Israel and other groups who are paid. In Syria, for example, they were making, what, $20 or $40 a month. And somehow, when they took over, they were getting $2,000 a month, some of these mercenary groups mm-hmm. in there. It just, money is a thing. And the rich folks want us to fight each other, and that's happening. And I'm sad to say, and maybe it won't continue to happen, because humans are not essentially stupid, despite people looking at Trump and thinking that might be the case. We're not. And if we start just passively not doing certain things, there's not a whole lot they can do unless they try and do like they did like they're doing in Israel, getting 2,000-pound bombs on people in tents, and starving people and whatever. But they can't do that if everybody unites together against them. So we'll just see what happens. I hope, we get a little bit smarter. I'm not sure that I'm courageous. I'm not sure who he's talking about. We're not courageous. There are people who are bought off.
Yeah.
And they get a lot of money. And so they'll sit up and talk for 26 hours and not talk about any issues like reparations, cop city, social security for everybody, minimum wage, anything else. And people say, oh, you got to vote for me. If you're not, you're not black. And they got other people running for him and cheering for him and talking about, hey, I support this person or something because of this skin color or whatever, even though all the issues are anti-you, anti-anybody who is middle class. So I hope...
Anti-humanity. You know what I mean? You know, T-Bird, I'll say this. If I got to wake up and I got to look online or wherever and I see that there's a country that the United States supports, and when doctors go into Gaza to treat people, the Israelis look at their bags. And if they find baby formula, they take the baby formula out. They will not allow them to take baby formula into Gaza because the babies wouldn't starve to death then. When I see that level of evil and it's perpetrated by my government, and if I say, man, that's wrong, and they say, well, you're an anti-Semite, I'm attacked for seeing the most evil acts that humanity could do, that invoke rage and hatred in every fiber of my body, and you're not human if it doesn't. When I see that, and that's my that's not my government. They don't represent me. Don't ask me to vote for these people. Don't ask me to support for these people. Anything. I despise them. And that's all. They're despicable human beings. And every one of them deserves to be despised. And don't tell me about the Republicans or the Democrats.
And we don't learn from other people. The most bureaucratic country in the world is China. And yet they're the only country that has increased their people's productivity and their people's lifestyle by 8 times in the last 40 years.
Yep.
It just is crazy. We have stuff that our media won't tell us, and we don't get together and talk in peace and figure out things that it's courageous to do, but might be passive, but courageous and keep the bloodshed down. And I hope we do. I hope we go back and look at our history and what got us going.
All right. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. Here's an article from the Jewish Chronicle. Israeli official reportedly arrested in Las Vegas child sex ring. A top Israeli official. Now, listen to this. A top Israeli official was allegedly among a number of suspects arrested in Las Vegas in recent weeks during a sting operation targeting child sex offenders. Tom Alexandrovich, 38, was among eight people arrested in the past 2 weeks and charged with a felony for allegedly luring a child with a computer for a sex act, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department announced. A spokesman for the department said a multi-agency operation targeting child sex predators led to the arrest. Right? They go on to say U.S. and Israel media subsequently reported that Alexandrovich was a top cybersecurity official for the Israeli government. At that time, he was in Las Vegas to attend the Black Hat Briefings, an annual gathering of cybersecurity professionals. Here's the bottom line. You know where he is? He went back to Israel, and they're not going to extradite him. Now, think about this. An Israeli official of the Israeli government right now was arrested in Las Vegas for pedophilia. For trying to lure a child for sex. He was arrested. He was booked. He got on a plane. He went back to Israel. And the government ain't trying to do nothing to stop him. What you think the government, first of all, I'm a former police officer. I'm going to tell you what they would do to me or you. First of all, we wouldn't get out on anything. Secondly, you would not be able to leave the state, much less leave the country. But the government said, you're Israeli, bro. Go ahead. You're good. Get on the plane. He posted a $10,000 bond and a $50 filing fee. Right. So that's where we go. An Israeli official was. And you wonder why people say, well, let's see. Epstein, why was it that as few as two, but as many as five former Israeli prime ministers visited Epstein at his mansion in New York? Why his partner, Ghislaine Maxwell, her father was Robert Maxwell, an Israeli spy. In fact, there's a book about him, and the name of the book is Robert Maxwell, Israeli Super Spy. There's a documentary made about him as an Israeli spy. In fact, Robert Maxwell, who was Ghislaine Maxwell's father, had a lawyer. The lawyer's name was Samuel Pisar. He's the stepfather of Tony Blinken. So here's my point. This thing didn't just start. But you tell me how a man can get arrested for trying to lure children for sex and hop on a plane, go back to Israel. See, and that's our partner. That's the wonderful country. That's the chosen country. That's America's perfect, lovely, beloved country that we got to spend all of our money, that we got to help do the most evil things on earth. That if I say, hey, I don't like Israel, they'll come drag me away and lock me up. And Israeli officials caught trying to have sex with children. They put them on a plane and sent them home. I would say, well, if I did it, I'd be hung. But I would never consider such a thing, so I wouldn't have to worry about it. And if you do consider it, you should be hung. Now, I'm against the death penalty. I'm saying that rhetorically and symbolically. But you get my position. You get my meaning. Do we got any more callers? All right, let's go to the next caller.
Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm on the air.
Okay. I'm calling about Reverend Barber was on C-SPAN.org, and you've got to hear the talk, especially towards the end, where he gives information about Steve Bannon. That's Reverend Barber. He's in Ohio with a
person. I'm familiar with him.
So, anyway, he gave a talk today on C-SPAN. Get C-SPAN, Reverend Barber. And the information he gave on Steve Bannon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate it. Yes, I'm very familiar with Steve Bannon. I know I've done research on him. Did you know that Steve Bannon, you know how he made his money? He's affiliated with, with the TV show Seinfeld. So when they show Seinfeld, Steve Bannon gets money from that. He was originally affiliated with that. I'm not sure how, but that's, he makes a lot of money of being, but he's a grifter. Steve Bannon is a right wing grifter. He's out there. He was hanging around with some rich Chinese dude, and the Chinese dude is a guy who's like against the Chinese government. So the US government and all the spies love him. And he had, Bannon was hanging around him because he's a grifter and he was getting money. Just a right wing grifter. So, you know, and has Bannon ever said anything that was correct? Sure. Even a stop clock is right twice a day. You know, so I ain't going to say he's never said anything that was correct, but he's a very racist dude. Very racist dude. He's not a good guy. I'm just saying that he's not a good guy. I'm very familiar with him. I used to work with a guy that knew him and worked with him very well. And he's just another madman, which we got no shortage. Do we have any more call? We got any more callers? No more callers. All right. So there we have it. The last thing I'll say is, here we go. Israel has barred two foreign physicians, one American and one French, from entering the Gaza Strip following direct orders from the Shin Bet security agency. They were blocked because they were bringing baby formula to the because they were bringing a baby formula into Gaza. I mean, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about that for one kind of second, for 1 second. What the heck kind of human beings do that? What kind? You know, I see pictures of starving people. People are starving to death by the hundreds. And I'm supposed to say that's an ally of the United States. You know, that's there's a word for that. Evil. That's pure evil. We are at a point where the United States government and Israel are forces of evil. Absolute evil. You know, and, you know, I couldn't even discuss it with anybody. If somebody was to say, well, I'd like to talk to you about October 7th in Israel, I'd say, I can't talk. What is there to talk about? What, how can you talk about pure evil? How? Okay, so something happened to offend me. Somebody did something to me that I didn't like. What are you going to do? I'm going to go to the community next to where I live, where all the thousands of people are, and starve them all to death and bomb them and kill all the innocent people, little children, babies. Hey, people want to bring food to the babies. Nah, I can't bring food to the babies. They might eat it. How is there anybody left on this earth, to me, that has a shred of humanity that could look at what's happening in Israel and say, yeah, I'm all right with that. I think I can support that. What? Well, you know, because of, I guess I'm a Christian and I'm supporting the Jews and all this has to happen so the Prince of Peace can return. I mean, that's what they really, people literally believe that. Well, this has to happen so Jesus can return. And what is the nickname for Jesus again? The Prince of Peace. Oh boy, isn't that just ironic? So, I mean, it's just sickening. At any rate, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing a fantastic job, as always, for answering the phones, for taking care of everything, for putting up with my madness and all manner of confused callers and pushing buttons, and they ain't there one second, and they are there the next and everything else. But he's doing a great job. Thank you very much, Kalia. A fellow house music aficionado, I might add, and between the two of us, week to week, we always choose a nice house music song. I chose an interesting one. Let's see if you like it this week. Next, you got, I mean, I can put a house music song on every now and then, and my main man Kalia can, but let me tell you, what comes up after us is the real professional music, and that is Robin Holden's. She's not there every week. Sometimes we have other curators, but it's always a fantastic music show coming up after us at 7, so do not, under any circumstances, change that dial. But first, I don't even remember what house music I chose, but it's one of the songs, but I love it. Kalia, I'm out.
It is with a heavy heart that the WPFW family marks the passing of Nkinji Touré. Born Anita Stroud on March 5, 1951, in Baltimore, Maryland. Nkinji was an activist whose expansive collection of speeches and written works confront issues around reproductive justice, black feminism, and women's rights. She was a vocal proponent of the anti-rape movement and continuously advocated for gender equality within the Black Nationalist Movement and the Black Panther Party. Later in life, Touré took on roles to improve quality of